You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Hey, Pastor Robbie here. I want you to be aware of a new resource we're excited about. It's called Beyond the Sermon. This is a resource designed to have practical conversations of applying God's word to our lives based on the current series that we're doing on the family and the home. You can check this out on YouTube, watch it there, or listen to wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, it's called Beyond the Sermon, Conversations Applying God's Word to Everyday Life.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hope Bible Church Oakville. So glad that you're here. Let's get our Bibles open to Proverbs 3. We're in Proverbs 3 together today. This is our second to last message in our series on the home or the family called Unless the Lord Builds the House. I'm excited for today because today is about the indispensable, essential, invaluable, and irreplaceable. It's a lot of words there. As to what? The role of wisdom in the home. The role of wisdom in the family, the home, really every life. Our sermon title is this, Every Home Must Treasure Wisdom. Every home must treasure wisdom. Biblically speaking, it is difficult to overstate the value of wisdom in our lives. You need to hear that? You need to hear that? This is so important, again, for all of us here today. It is very, very difficult to overstate the value and role of wisdom in our lives and our homes, just because wisdom impacts everything. I don't know how much you've thought about wisdom, biblically speaking. I don't know how many messages you've heard on wisdom, again, in your journey with Christ, but I pray you'll be impacted by today, because by wisdom, again, everything changes. One of the verses that's been the foundation for this series on the screen for you is Proverbs 24, verse 3. And notice, by wisdom a house is built. You say, I want to build a house in the Lord. Not without wisdom. It doesn't happen without wisdom. I want to establish a home in Christ. Not without understanding. If you want that to happen, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, children hoping to be that one day, individuals, Christ followers, friends, I want my home to be built in Christ. Well, then you need his wisdom. 100%, no exceptions. I want my house to be established with this truth and strength of Christ, not without his wisdom or understanding. Massively, massively important. What I want to do right now is I really want to pique your interest, whet your appetite as to the totality of wisdom in many ways found in the book of Proverbs and just how much the Bible says. So like when I read scripture and so much has happened to me and so many of these massive things, I can't get over how clearly the Bible talks about certain themes and how frequently the Bible talks about certain themes and what it says about certain themes. Like when you sit back and you take it in, you're like, man, God is so serious about this issue. Last week, so serious about issue of money and finances. This week, incredibly serious as to the theme of wisdom, the blessing of wisdom, and the value of wisdom as well. This is a summary of Proverbs 2 and 3 and what it says about the value of wisdom. Just two chapters of the Bible. I can say so much more, excluding our passage today. I'm not even including our passage today. Here's what we learned about the value of wisdom. First, it understands the fear of the Lord. No wisdom, you can't understand the fear of the Lord. Wisdom understands righteousness and justice from the wisdom of God himself. Wisdom penetrates the heart. Those with knowledge, they only get to the surface. It's wisdom that rightly applies knowledge that gets to the heart. It causes your soul to be pleasant. Yes, please. Wisdom, discretion watches over you. Who doesn't need that? Wisdom is what leads to that. In wisdom, understanding guards you again in this life. Let's go to the next slide here. This is just what Proverbs 2 and 3 are telling us about wisdom. Wisdom delivers you from evil. Yes, I'll sign up for that. Wisdom delivers you from lustful evil, a sensual sin. Yes, amen. It causes you to walk in the way of good. It causes you to keep paths of righteousness. It leads to favor and good success. Wisdom leads to this. Wisdom leads to favor in the sight of God and man. What a powerful prayer that is. But it's founded and rooted in wisdom. Just when you think we're done, there's more. Next slide here. It causes us to sleep well. All in favor of sleeping well? All in favor. Wisdom allows us to sleep well, right? It does not fear evil. By the way, the more you have the wisdom of God in our world that's crazy and all the headlines and all the commotion, wisdom just takes it in and just says like, man, God is in control. Like at the end of the day, I will not fear because God's not afraid and Jesus Christ is not biting his nails, you know, up in heaven waiting to return. They're absolutely in control and know what's wisdom understands this. So it trusts the Lord. And wisdom invites ultimately the blessing and honor. We're going to see a ton of this today in our text. Just a small summary of the value and the impact of wisdom. Of wisdom that can only be granted and given again by God himself. Again, Why do I do that? I want to get your attention. Some of you have never seen that before. Some of you, and again, I strongly encourage you, take Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read it this week several times. Take it, go through it. Ask the Lord to continue to speak to you as well. If you're serious about wisdom, you will do this. For those of us who've never heard this before, then this is your chance. This is your chance, man. Double down, triple down, again, on the reality of wisdom. Let's read our passage now, Proverbs 3, verse 13. Proverbs 3, verse 13. And again, I didn't even include this in that summary here, but let's listen to the value and impact of wisdom. A father pleading with his son here is the context. Verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Why? For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. That's wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Wow. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Yes, please. And all her paths are peace. Praise the Lord. She, wisdom, is a tree of life. To those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. So I want verse 13 to serve as our introduction today. And take a look at verse 13 again. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. So verse 13 operates as a beatitude of sorts. We know the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 in the Sermon of the Mount. There's a familiar phrase that Jesus begins each beatitude with, which is blessed are the. In this case here, verse 13, blessed is the one. The word blessed here means happy. In the Greek and the New Testament, the Hebrew and the Old Testament, really happy. It means happy. It means fulfilled is the one. Happy is the one. So listen to this. Ready? Ready? Again, loved ones, you got to pay attention here. There's like wisdom is calling in so many ways today on the theme of wisdom. Wisdom leads to true happiness. Or blessed or happy are those who find and dwell with the wisdom of God. Our world, every day we get the false teachings of the world. Here's the path to happiness. Here's what you need to do. You'll be happy. I'm so nauseated with the emptiness of our world and the false claims it makes every single day that we live. But listen, what's happening right now in Scripture, what's happening right now is God is saying, here's the path to happiness. I'm providing for you, child, the true path to happiness. The true path to satisfaction, the true path to fulfillment. What is it? Wisdom. Wisdom leads to true happiness because it's happiness and satisfaction coming from God himself. See, the world can't touch that. This is what the Holy Spirit brings through God himself. And always remember this too, okay? Always remember, wisdom loves wisdom. How do you know if you're wise right now? You're excited for this message. The wise person right now is not thinking about what's after church. The wise person right now is like, I need to hear this. Because the wise person knows that one of the essence of the principles of wisdom is that you desire to have more wisdom. You say, can I get a verse for that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I don't even have to turn a page in my Bible. You might have to turn one page. I want you to look at Proverbs 4, verse 5. Proverbs 4, verse 5. And again, if I'm wise right now, man, I got a pen, I got a highlighter, whether now or later, I'm going to return to this. I'm excited. I want to learn. I want to mark this up. I want to make sure when I come back here, I know where I've been. And by the way, if you're using one of our Bibles in the pews or in the chairs there, and it belongs to the church, whatever, you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you, is you promise to read it. If you're boring it for the day, mark it up. The next person come along and say, wow, that person was really smart. That person really helped me here, okay? We mean that. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Watch this. A father pleading with a son. Get wisdom. Get insight. Get wisdom. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. I love this verse. The beginning of wisdom is this. You can say it. Get wisdom. Yeah, isn't it amazing? The wise person loves wisdom, right? And whatever you get, get understanding. I love that so much. It's so exciting. Whatever you get insight. Why? Prize her highly. Wisdom will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. I mean, wow. The language, the imagery, the power, the profundity, all surrounding wisdom. So again, the wise person, right now, they're excited. They sense the opportunity for life-changing instruction on wisdom that honestly, this is my prayer for us right now too, that again, for those of us new to this, but for those of us who are familiar, we are renewed. And like, I've studied this topic like hundreds and hundreds of times this week. Again, I'm so excited to be here today with you right now. So excited for this because I believe in it so much. This is a 100% top five principle in the entire Christian life for me. It's probably even greater than that. Because of what it impacts everything. The more the wisdom of God is in your heart, in your mind, through your life, then you are automatically thinking according to God, you're walking according to God, and you are guaranteed the blessing and favor of God. Not easy, but you are guaranteed blessing. This is what we see here today again and again and again. We're not shying away from the Bible so clearly says repeatedly over and over again. So let's get started then. Okay, the opportunity for wisdom, the opportunity for blessing. Our leading phrase is every home must treasure wisdom. And then we say, okay, amen, amen, amen. But now specifically, why? Why must every home treasure wisdom? Why must every life in Christ treasure wisdom? Five reasons, really. We'll have 4 points, but really five reasons. Number one is this, because of the profit it yields. Every home must treasure wisdom because of the profit that wisdom yields. Look at verse 14 now. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. Now, you've noticed as we've been reading some of these verses here in the early chapters of Proverbs that wisdom is being personified as a woman, which is wonderful. The reasons for this could be many. The context of this chapter, I've alluded to this, is a father speaking to his son. It's a father pleading for the impact and the role of wisdom in the life of the son. So the immediate context here, the immediate context is directed towards young men. Of course, this applies to every single one of us. But we want to acknowledge the context is a father really just begging his son to listen and pursue woman wisdom. Now, woman wisdom here personified as a woman, what speaks to what? It speaks to, helpfully, the relationship the son is to have with her. In many ways, the same way the son will desire to have a wife one day and love her, pursue her, and long for her, the father's kind of capitalizing on that desire to say yes, and woman wisdom is even greater than that. Pursue her, love her, long for her, grab hold of her, and she will bless you immensely. What does it mean, though, that we are pursuing woman wisdom in this way? Well, Bruce Waltke, a great commentator, he really says it this way, too. He says, essentially, woman wisdom is the teaching of Proverbs. So when you pursue woman wisdom, what you're really wanting to do is become intimately acquainted with the book of Proverbs on your heart and life. Like, you want to be all over this in your mind and heart your entire life because of the blessings that come from it. I studied that afresh this week, and then it made sense to me why I will typically read through the book of Proverbs 6 to 8 times a year. I'm so drawn to it. I find it's so digestible, and it's so practical, and so helpful, and it renews my mind. Like, literally today, again, in Proverbs, in multiple chapters, and because, again, to be intimately acquainted with the book of Proverbs is to be seeking the blessing, value, and the favor of God upon our lives. This is what God is saying to each of us. And if we are wise, then we will seek to do the same for all the reasons, again, that we are learning right now. If we carry this application or insight one step further, every wise young man will pursue woman wisdom above all else, right? Now, this is brilliant Holy Spirit authorship here, right? Because again, embrace woman wisdom the same way you embrace your wife one day. So we get what we're being asked to do, but now again we say, but why? Verse 14. Because her gain, the gain of wisdom is better than silver. The profit of wisdom is better than gold. Again, Waalke, he explains it this way. Okay, listen to this. I think this is very helpful. Money can put food on the table, but not the fellowship around it. Listen, money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can give a woman jewelry, but not the love that she so desperately longs for. The difference between money and the wisdom of God unlocks the favor of God. So many pursue money as the answer, and money, again, if we're just pursuing that for its sake, will leave us so utterly miserable and empty. And we have millions and millions and millions of lives that would tell that story over and over again. See, the wise person in Christ knows there's so much more, there's so much more. Wisdom, you cannot put a value on wisdom because of how precious wisdom actually is and the profit that it yields. The value and blessing of God's wisdom is unparalleled. So the fool, listen, the fool spends all their time trying to build a bank account of gold. By the way, didn't gold reach record highs this past week? Is that true? Did I see a headline that I think gold's over $3,000, whatever it is, now? And so amazing how many people that just, this is what they're living for. They believe that gold is the answer. Like literally, in this case, gold's the answer. The wise person knows their bank account, when it's flushed with the wisdom of God, will give them infinitely more value than anything on the earth. Now, why does the wisdom of God, why is it so much more valuable than things of the earth? Because the dividends are supernatural. The dividends of the Lord from his wisdom and from his spirit are truly supernatural. They are of the Lord and God himself. And whenever God is handing out dividends by his spirit, man, it's going to be pretty wonderful and awesome. So the wise person treasures wisdom because, number one, of the profit it yields. Number two, because it is precious in nature. You're going to see a lot of P's today in this because there's a lot of P's in this text. It's a preacher's dream, okay? Look at verse 15. Wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So think about it. Why are silver, gold, and, you know, precious jewels of the earth, again, worth so much? Well, they're worth so much because they're so hard to find. Because they're so hard to extract from the earth. Because they are rare, again, jewels. They are rare, precious items. Consider then the worth and pursuit of wisdom, okay? Wisdom is not just difficult to find. Wisdom, biblically speaking, is impossible to find on our own. There's no man or woman that can go extract wisdom by themselves. Why? Because wisdom, biblically speaking, wisdom is only given by God. It is the Lord that grants wisdom. I've always found fascinating the gold rushes of history. How about the gold rush in California, 1848 to 1855? Over 300,000 people rushed to this gold scene, hoping to strike it rich. The city of San Francisco exists today due to this gold rush 175 years ago. You had people sailing in from all over the world, risking their lives, many dying at their attempt to find this pursuit of gold. Now, believers in Jesus Christ, we don't need another gold rush. We need a wisdom rush. Because the value of wisdom is infinitely more. It's worth so much more. So interesting to me, too, like literally this week, what ended up in my inbox was an advertisement of sorts for what they're calling a data gold rush. There's a data gold rush right now, and they're compelling you to invest in this data gold rush. Literally, that's the term that they use, a data gold rush, and it's based on the back of AI, and everyone's getting into it, and billions of dollars are available, and you need to jump into the data gold rush. And I'm in the middle of, like, preparing sermon in the days I'm doing. You got to be kidding me. That's unbelievable. Here it is right here, and it's just like, this is what our modern day is doing. Notice too, right? There's a data gold rush now. So knowledge. In one way or another, it's grab the knowledge and then capitalize it, money. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? We'll explain that wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. You can have all the knowledge in the world, be the smartest person on earth, have no wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied, and it's taking the knowledge and applying it to the ways of God, led by the Holy Spirit. So you can have all these people that are in this data gold rush and filled with all this money, whatever it is, but they have no wisdom whatsoever because wisdom comes from God. And the wise right now are listening to the sermon. The wise are like, yeah, that's true, that's true, that's true. Wisdom is so much more valuable than anything I could get from the earth because of the prophet and because of its precious nature, because wisdom comes from God himself. And anything that God hands out is going to be immensely and eternally valuable. Again, I want you to hear this. Only God can give wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 on the screen for you. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, it's only in the pursuit of God do we get wisdom. It's the love for God that gives us wisdom. It was King Solomon. King Solomon was asked by God himself. God basically says, hey, ask whatever you want. I will give it to you. Solomon in his wisdom, Solomon who wrote most of Proverbs, by the way, very smart guy, very wise guy. Wise guy, better word. Very man filled with wisdom. In his wisdom, God asked him, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And then God says this, wisdom and knowledge, listen, are granted to you. God is the one who gives wisdom. Let's go New Testament, James 1. James 1. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Ask who? God. God is the one who grants wisdom. You're like, I want more wisdom. Then you want more God. You want more Christ. You want more Holy Spirit. You want more of God's truth in your mind to renew it and filling your life. God is the one who gives wisdom. Okay, so you can have a scientist staring into the deepest recesses of the universe through this massive telescope, and they can see all these aspects of the universe and planets and mind-blowing information, and you'd say, wow, that's amazing, that all happened by chance. Foolishness. Another guy looks in the same information and knowledge and says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. That's wisdom. You're taking the knowledge and you're applying it to the glory of God, which again is the fruit of wisdom. This is why wisdom is so, so precious. But there's more incentive from verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says, and nothing you desire, look at that, eh? I sat on that this week. Nothing you desire can compare with her, can compare with wisdom. Nothing you desire. Let me ask you right now, what do you desire right now? What are you desiring in life? What's your top desire, top three desires? What are you desiring? What do you want most? What are you longing to achieve, to receive? What are you longing to accomplish? What are you longing to get, again, within your life? Whatever your answer is, God says today, nothing that you desire, child, compares with the value of wisdom in your life. Nothing. So, no offense, bigger house. No offense, nicer car. No offense, flush RSP. No offense, 5% body fat. See, I want you to look at verse 15 again. And nothing you desire compares with her. Loved ones, look here for a second. Look here now. Look here. Do you believe this? Like, truly. Now, it's not just us nodding our heads saying, I believe this. We prove we believe it by living it. Do you believe this? God does. God does. God believes that nothing we desire can compare with the value and the beauty and the worth, again, in wisdom. Again, so much what I'm trying to do for us right now, I'm just trying to see how clearly God is speaking to us. This is why the Bible is just so awesome. There's no book like it. Supernatural. God wrote it. And he's telling us today. He is like the Father in this context pleading with the Son, and our Father is pleading with us by his Spirit and his Word right now, and through this message, he's pleading with us, child, do you believe this? Because he's like, I've watched how we live, and the way that you're living says to me, you don't believe this, because you're desiring everything else but me. You're desiring the things of the world, and you don't value the wisdom of God. You haven't been in the Bible in days or weeks. He's like, but I'm pleading with you, child. Wisdom is what leads to blessing. Because wisdom is what leads to Jesus and to God himself. Every home must treasure wisdom. See, again, there's not so much like, well, today's the foundational aspect of like, man, you be as close to wisdom as possible, then everything else starts to flow down into your life. Wisdom is profitable and precious. Thirdly, this, because wisdom results in prosperity and peace. It results in prosperity and peace. Look at verse 16 now. long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Wow. So just like living the text right now, and you have this imagery of woman wisdom holding out her hands here, and she has these incredible, beautiful spiritual gifts and heavenly blessings, really. Long life is in her hand, and riches and honor are in her other hand, and she's holding them out for anyone who desires to receive them. This is what woman wisdom offers to those who pursue her. Amazing. And specifically, what are the gifts she's offering? Again, long life, riches, and honor. I believe what this is saying, it's speaking to the overall blessing that comes from the wisdom of God. Again, the blessing that she's offering today, like, they're incredible. Long life, riches, and honor. Now, how do we interpret this? Long life, riches, and honor. I think a good way to interpret it is this way. Think of the opposite, okay? Think of the foolishness and the damage that sin and foolishness can bring to a life, right? So long life, right? Foolishness, if unrepented of and continued, and sin can literally destroy the health of an individual. Addictions, habits, mental anxiety, stress, the pursuit of the things of sin in the world literally can bring people to death. Short life. Think of the damage to honor and reputation that foolishness and sin have destroyed in certain individuals. Right? The pursuit of self and sin, the pursuit of evil in their lives has literally devastated their honor and reputation. So you have no honor. Think of the wealth that has been squandered by people due to the foolishness and the sin of the love of money and greed and selfish desires. Think of the foolishness of gambling in our day. This came up in our home yesterday. Talking about how much the world is pursuing this right now. How many lives have been utterly ruined financially and all these other ways because of the sinful foolishness of gambling away their wealth, and it's the opposite of the wisdom of God. It's interesting, Proverbs 15 says that the Lord tears down the house of the proud. Proverbs 15 also says that trouble befalls the income of the wicked. Do you see? So when we see it in the negative light now, then woman wisdom's holding out long life, riches, and honor. We start to see again what she's talking about. And the way of God leads to the blessing of God on our lives and protects us from self-destruction. So wisdom shows us how to handle God's wealth. Wisdom directs us to God's grace. And health. Wisdom guarantees the honor of God and the favor of God upon our lives. Unquestionably, it does. And when you frame it in that sense, you're like, man, sign me up for wisdom. Sign me up for wisdom. So listen carefully. Again, I've always been personally so struck by this. Life is hard. Life in Jesus Christ is harder. Life in Jesus Christ is narrow. Literally, Jesus says the way is narrow and hard. Even Pastor Brandon praying today, again, over the service, there's a cost to following Jesus Christ. We're going to be opposed by others. We're going to encounter suffering and oppression from satanic forces. That's a reality, okay? So life is hard in Christ. It's incredibly beautiful and wonderful. But wisdom, listen, saves us from unnecessary pain, heartache, and misery. Life is hard enough by itself. Wisdom saves us from self-inflicted pain and self-inflicted misery and self-inflicted heartache. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom minimizes the threats and damage to our lives that we would bring upon ourselves. You don't need to look far. You can look around at homes that have been devastated by sin. You're like, that person's an idiot. They just ruined their life. You can look at the world and see people in business, and that person's an idiot. They just ruined their life. That person's just so dumb. They've just sabotaged their entire career, whatever it might be. You can see that all around you. Wisdom says, I'm not going to be that person. Wisdom says, I'm going to follow the ways of the Lord. In that sense, it brings prosperity. But it also brings peace. Look at verse 17 now. Just going verse by verse, all we're doing right here, one verse at a time. Her ways are of ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And all her paths are peace. Let's be clear here. The path or way of wisdom, again, is not the easy path. The easy path is the path of foolishness and sin. That is by far the easier path. But the way of wisdom is the beautiful path. It's the path. I love that word pleasantness. You like that? I love pleasantness. And I love the path of peace. Hey, so again, let's be clear. The way of wisdom, it'll be mocked by the world. The way of wisdom will be opposed by Satan viciously. The way of wisdom will be derided by peers. But the way of wisdom brings pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. A verse that is closely aligned to this. We heard this already, but we're going to look at verse 4. Now watch Proverbs 24. By wisdom a house is built. By understanding it is established. Again, I'm overwhelmed with how much the Bible talks about wisdom. Watch this. By knowledge, the rooms of the house are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we've said this. Wisdom not only builds the structure of the house, but also is in charge of its decor. And when the Holy Spirit is your decorator, he does a pretty good job. And every room you walk into is pleasant. And every room you walk into, again, is filled with peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God led by wisdom. What I think happens in many of our homes, many of our spiritual homes, we kind of let the Holy Spirit into the front entryway. You know, where you take off your shoes and take off your coat, and you're kind of like, Holy Spirit, stay right here, and then I'll be right back, or I'll get back to you in a little while, and you go off and do your stuff in all the other areas of the house. We've never actually let the Holy Spirit come, not just through the entranceway, but here, come into the living room, and come into the kitchen, and come into the dining room, whatever it might be, and you know what, I'm not going to just make you stay on the first floor or whatever, I'm going to let you come again into the areas of the upstairs and the things that happen again, whether it's bedroom, whatever it is, and you know that closet that no one's ever been into? Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you into the dark places of my life because I need you to have control over everything. There's a lot of us here right now that we have cut off the Spirit of God and God's wisdom from very key components of our lives because if we're honest, we don't want him to see. And today's an opportunity to say, you have the opportunity not just to walk into the entranceway, not just to walk into the kitchen, not just to walk into whatever, but to actually walk into your bedroom. To walk into other areas of your house, and you can sense the peace and pleasantness of the Spirit of God as you pursue his wisdom. That's what he's offering today. It's incredibly beautiful, and it's incredibly powerful. Listen, for some of you right now, there's been seasons where that has happened, and you've had the peace and pleasantness of the Holy Spirit, again, in the areas of your house, but something has happened, and sin has come in, and Satan has created division and created disturbance. You can repent of that sin. You can repent of that sin. Jesus Christ will forgive you. He gives grace to you, and he loves you, and you can restore the pleasantness to that room again. It's what he does. It's what he specializes in. And that's what wisdom wants, and that's what wisdom pursues. Wisdom says, my sin has ruined me. Jesus Christ in his grace forgives me. And in his grace, he forgives me. And not just that, he will fill my life with the aroma, again, that is so pleasant again, and the very peace of God. This is the power and the opportunity of the gospel upon us right now. Oh, for the wisdom and his love to fill every room in our house. Why is the way of wisdom also the way of peace? Well, it's the way of peace because it's the path to Jesus Christ. And last time I checked, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So listen, more Jesus, more peace. More Jesus, you have more peace. It's Jesus that says, or in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God, Romans 5. Peace with God. Jesus said to his disciples, I have said these things to you that in me, listen, you may have peace. It was Jesus who said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It was Jesus who said after his resurrection to his disciples on multiple occasions, peace be with you. It's the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 that says, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Jesus Christ is peace. You don't have peace, you don't have Christ. You have Christ, you have peace. Now notice what God's saying to us today. More wisdom means more Jesus. More Jesus automatically means more peace. More peace is more blessing. I'm just going to back that up for a second. More wisdom. The wisdom of God is always meaning more Jesus. More Jesus always means more peace. Amen. More peace in our lives. Pleasantness. Yes, please, Lord. Amen. Jesus is the one who gives us peace. And the wisdom of God always points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's that for right now? You know, honestly. Who right now walked into this place today, Overflow, Orangeville, whatever it is. And to be honest, life is chaotic. So distracted. No peace. Misery. Flustered. Anxiety. Stressed out of your mind. And you're here today to hear this. You need God's wisdom that leads you to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ leads you to the peace of God. You will not get it otherwise. This is the power of the opportunity for today. In some ways, so simple, but so profound. So profound and so needed. Let's just recap where we've been today so far in our message. I just want to remind us, because again, I think this is an outline we need to. So I wrote down in my Bible, by the way, I wrote down beside each verse the P that is associated with this. Because I want to remember. I literally did that this morning. I was in, oh, by the way, I was so neat. So I'm in my Bible reading plan. My Bible reading plan right now has me in Proverbs. Yes! Okay? And specifically today, Proverbs 3. Yes! That is so encouraging to me, you know? I kind of woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, where am I today? I'm in Proverbs. Yeah, awesome, awesome. I'm in Proverbs. Oh, I'm in Proverbs 3. How about that, man? Preaching today, too. Went through the whole thing before. And I'm so encouraged by that, okay? And when I was doing that, I was writing down the P's because I want to remember. I want to remember and teach others, by the way. Every home must treasure wisdom because the profit it yields, it's precious in nature, it's prosperity and peace. How much do you want to bet the last point has a P in it? Yeah, right here, because it holds the power of life. So this is really interesting and awesome. Look at verse 18 now. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who, notice, lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. I'm so thankful for God's word. It's truly amazing. What tree of life here? Tree of life. What does that mean? It communicates notions of healing and eternal life. So we interpret scripture with scripture, right? There's some good biblical theology here. The tree of life shows up, and again, the early chapters of Genesis. And notice, Adam and Eve lost the tree of life due to their pride and sin. Listen carefully, okay? Biblical theology now, tracing a historical narrative through scripture on certain themes, the tree of life, by faith in Jesus Christ, we get the tree of life back. It was lost in sin, Adam and Eve. Through Jesus Christ and faith in him, we get the tree of life back, which leads to eternal life. Adam and Eve were banished from the tree of life because of their sin. In Jesus Christ, we now have restored, reestablished contact with the tree of life, which again is eternal life. The tree of life connotes vitality and strength and God's energy and wisdom of God. Beautiful and amazing. Notice in verse 18, those who lay hold of her, this is like pretty significant language here, and those who hold her fast. So very intentional language, very powerful imagery. Again, a father pleading with a son, pursue her, grab hold of her, do not let go of her, love her, long for her, be affectionate with her, hold her fast. That's what's being said here. Hey, you want blessing? Then you want to hold wisdom so close to your life. Put down the phone. Stop loving your phone so much. Let's be honest, man. Like, let's be honest. Like, if we take that example, a lot of us are very intimate with our phones. And unless that's fully rooted in Jesus Christ, which it never is, then that's going to lead to not wisdom. That's going to lead to not good. Why not put down loving and worshiping the phone so much? And why not pick up the word? Why not pick up wisdom and lay hold of her and let Proverbs just saturate your soul and your mind and love the Lord? Why not try? By the way, I can't remember. Sometimes I get mixed up in different services what I said. I don't think I said in the service. But if you want a practical way to read Proverbs, it has 31 chapters. So whatever day of the month it is. So today's the 16th. Read Proverbs 16. I did that this morning too. Blessed. Could take you 5 minutes. Could take you 10 if you want to stay there longer. What a blessing. I do that tons of times throughout the year. I just find it so profitable and such a blessing within my life too. Last thing I want you to notice, notice the inclusio in verses 13 and 18. You're like, what's an inclusio? It's a term to describe bookends. What's the first word in verse 13? It's the word blessed. And what's the last word in verse 18? It's the word blessed. Okay, so that's called an inclusio. This is 100% by intention of the Holy Spirit. He is packaging our passage with specific precision, packaging it with blessed. Okay, so our text today is a blessing sandwich. And in the middle of that blessing sandwich, the meat of it is packed with delicious wisdom. So here's what the Bible's saying to us today in this incredible package and sandwich is saying, listen, you want blessing, and we're like, yes, then you want wisdom. Because when you bite into that sandwich, it's going to be chock full of wisdom. And wisdom leads to blessing. So let's stop loving food so much physically, and let's pick up some spiritual food and actually be blessed by that. Again, if you want blessing, then you want wisdom. Let me just summarize this way. What's a marriage without wisdom? What's parenting without wisdom? What's a career without God's wisdom? It won't be what God wants. What's a future without wisdom? What's a home without God's wisdom? I mean, this is what we're learning today. It's undeniable. It's irrefutable. What's a life without God's wisdom? The blessing, the beauty, and the power of the wisdom of God. Listen, the father pleads with the son all throughout these texts. Son, son, I beg you. And now our Father in heaven pleads with us. My child, I beg you. Take hold of wisdom, and you will find my favor and honor upon your life. The choice is very, very clear. The road to foolishness and the road to wisdom. The road to heartache and misery, the road to blessing and favor and honor. It's so clear. Let's be wise. Choose wisely, as an Indiana Jones movie once said. Choose wisely, and you will choose favor and blessing of the Lord. Let's pray together right now. Father, I pray we are choosing wisely. I'm amazed at your clarity. I'm amazed, Lord, at your repetition of certain truths. I'm amazed again at this today, and I want so much for the men, women, and children of this church to be men and women and children of the wisdom of God. It is truly worth more than gold. It is precious. It is tremendous profit. It brings prosperity and peace and power. What else do we need to hear? Let us forsake the world. Let us run and take hold of wisdom today, to embrace her, to love her, to long for your truth. And ultimately, it points to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate personification and epitome of wisdom. More Jesus, more wisdom. More wisdom, more Jesus, more peace. May this song we sing now, intentionally chosen as a response, really resonate in our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand and respond together.